Welcome to Heartland, Darkland. I'm Cassie.
And I'm Shannon.
Hey, Dark Hearts.
Yep. How's it going, guys?
I didn't mess it up this time.
There you go. We had 2 weeks good now. Or 2 weeks off, 1 week back on. We're good.
You know, it's fine. It's fine. It is fine. You know, Shannon is under the weather again.
Always. It's just a common thing. Like, you know, when I'm feeling better, that'll be the excitement because I feel like it's just been a long haul. So
it has been.
It's fine. You know, when you're a mom, you don't really get to take a break from life. So that's that. But here we are, ready to dive back in.
Yeah. Maybe there's not as much chit chat this time because she has strep. So yeah, just a heads fine. Up,
you know? Yeah.
Quick, let's shout out to our patron members. You know, we've got Luis.
We've got... OG. Oh yeah, go ahead. Yeah, no. She's the OG. She's awesome. We love her. I hope one day we can like meet her in person. That would be cool.
I know. She's
where does she live? Best. Louise, I forget. Where do you live?
I'm assuming in Omaha.
Oh, is she local? Oh, I have no idea.
I don't honestly know, but because she sent us the link for the Omaha World Herald stuff.
Oh, that's true. That's true. That would make sense. Maybe not. I don't even know, but that's cool. But yeah, we got her and then Jillian, she's my friend.
Yep. Laurel awesome. Is my aunt.
Yeah. And then our new one, he's your friend, right?
Yes, Rocky.
Rocky.
Good people.
So yeah, thanks, guys. We're excited to have you on board, and we appreciate your support. It means a lot to us, and yeah, there's more information about that on any of our social platforms if you're interested in joining our Patreon. You can go to any of our social pages and you should be able to find a link there.
It's also in our show notes as well.
So there you
go. And you know, again, we get it. Finances can be tight. So also just sharing our stuff, leaving reviews, rating, like all of that helps us a ton as well.
Yes, very much so. So yeah, we appreciate you guys and, I don't want to say excited, I guess isn't the right word, but this month, February, welcome to February. By the time everyone listens to this, it will be February.
February 1st.
Yeah. So Black History Month. So we kind of decided to take on some cases this month, going that route. So yeah.
Yeah.
We're excited for that, to bring more light to that. Cassie's this week. She's up first this week. So I'm excited to hear her story. And of course, if you guys have any stories along that line, it's not like we only are doing them in February. So,
right, for sure. But, you know, just like with Indigenous Peoples Month, obviously we're not just covering that, but we want to only focus on those cases during this month. So that's, yeah, just to really highlight that as well. But obviously, we really want to make sure that our cases are diverse as well, that we're bringing attention to the cases that don't get as much attention. And typically that is Indigenous, people of color, Black. So we just really, you know, we want, when it's these months come up, we want to focus on that, but we do want to still share them throughout the year. So please, if you know of some cases, send them our way.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like cases from the Heartland area already are less heard of. So the fact then that we're doing these focused ones within the Heartland, it's like ones that you probably really haven't heard of. So
exactly. Which I will say,
all the help we can find too on some of those. So
yes, we had a new listener reach out to us on Instagram this weekend, which I totally forgot, Shannon, to let you know.
I didn't even see those. I don't know why. Yeah. I never see the Instagram ones for some reason.
So
I'll have to go peek.
She had just come across us. And so she gave us a few ideas. But she was like, you never hear about these stories. And we're like, right. That's why we started this. That's why we wanted to do this. And so, yeah, I will also say someone backed Indigenous peoples. You guys, someone shared a TikTok with me in the month of January alone. There were over 30 Indigenous kids missing from South Dakota.
That's
not just
very
kids, it's like teens and adults. Like, it is heartbreaking. And we're not hearing about any of these. And that was from just January of 2023, you guys. This is not okay.
Yeah.
More needs to be done. And there needs to be a lot more spotlight on that.
Yes.
So, you know, again, and just like with Black or with Indigenous Peoples Month, we still encourage you guys to find podcasts too that focus on that. I want to say the Fall Line, I don't know if they still have cases, but I know she used to cover, like, each season was a specific case, but it was covering Black cases or cases that were lesser known. Also, just trying to educate yourself on some of the history that we didn't learn or that was whitewashed and glossed over while we were growing up. There's so many things and, you know, Black people we don't know about that the things they did. You know, Rosa Parks even was very, like, everyone likes to say, oh, she was, no, that woman was a badass. Like, yes, she refused to move to the bus, but there was so much more than that. And she wasn't just about peaceful protesting, and neither was Martin Luther King. They said, you know, yeah, if we can, but that's not how we're going to get things done. And, you know, I think, you know, white people have taken and they're like, this is, you know, this is how you should be doing it. And they're negating so much. So we just strongly encourage, you know, not only to be aware of the fact that Black people are disproportionately victims over white and arrested and all those different types of things and victims of violent crimes and police brutality, but also the history of theirs that we are not taught. Like, I just strongly encourage, the information's out there. You can find groups, you know, don't, unless you know someone well enough, don't ask Black people to educate you. If they're willing, that's fantastic. But that's just asking them to do emotional labor. The internet's out there. You can find the information. So yeah. I will say one other thing. So, like, I was trying to find some statistics so we could do, like, an infograph statistic sheet like we did for Indigenous Peoples. I know Shannon's going to help me out. I was having a hard time. But one thing I wanted to say that I did find while I was trying to research is that in 2021, the FBI reported that overall hate crimes were at the highest that they had been in the last 12 years.
In what year? Did you say 2020?
2021.
Oh, yeah.
This report came out.
I believe it.
And of course it went up against Asian Americans. There was that disproportionate with the pandemic and stuff, people bringing a lot of hate and blame, but then Black people as well. And it's just,
it's really, like, gross.
I really feel like we're starting to regress as a country.
Yeah.
A lot of times.
It's sad. It's like right when you think things are starting to get better, then you hear about another incident, like the most recent thing on the news. And I mean, we could go down that loophole forever. I feel like it's constantly things, but with the police officers, I can't remember where was that?
And they were actually Black themselves.
That's what I saw. And I was like, this is just a whole thing. And it's so sad. It just makes me sad that that's the world that we live in right now. But I will say, on a more positive end, my daughter's come home from school and told me, did you know, this and this about, I can't even think of some of the names right now because I didn't even know them. Let's just put it that way. Stuff that they are learning about Black history and stuff. And I was really pleased to hear that they are learning about stuff like that. And she was educating me on things that I didn't know, that I was never taught growing up, as far as, I mean, different people and activists and stuff like that. So, at least there's some things being done in that aspect.
They're starting to get better. Unfortunately, there is pushback from, people who don't want, especially in those southern conservative states and things like that. But yeah, it is. And that's fantastic. And, you know, we have to do our part too. Like, when I was watching that TikTok that we had been tagged in about the Indigenous people, my son happened to be there and I didn't realize he was listening to it. And he was like, well, I guess we're not going to South Dakota. And I was like, well, actually, you know, these are Indigenous people. So he's like, well, what's that? I said, well, Native Americans, you know, they lived here before anyone else and stuff. And so we're going over that. And I was like, unfortunately, they go missing at a higher rate and stuff. He's like, well, why? That's not fair. You know,
I know,
you know, and so it starts with us too, educating our children to hope that as they grow up, our world can become a better place for all of them. So On that lighthearted note, I am going to give a trigger warning to you guys today. This case deals with a lot of sexual assault, and rape, drug addiction. It's a heavy case. And it's one that I didn't really remember until about halfway through something was mentioned and that like little bit of information I remembered, but it wasn't even about the murders themselves. So I watched a documentary on Amazon, about this, which we're going to Cleveland, by the way, you guys. We're going to be in Cleveland, Ohio this week, and I'm covering the case of the Cleveland Strangler and his 11 murder victims. There were actually more victims that did survive as well. So Unseen was a really good documentary. It's on Amazon Prime. It's free. There are commercials with it, but I highly recommend it. It was really good. So they actually did interviews with the women who were victims and got away and some people from the community who had known this man. It was so well done. I thought they did a really good job of showing how, you know, easy it was for these women to be assaulted and no one cared. The other show I watched was Living with a Serial Killer on Peacock. It's season 2, episode 8. That one was mainly just interviewing his half-sister. It was more recent. I want to say it came out in like November of this last year, 2022. And I think Unseen came out in like 2019, somewhere in there. There were some discrepancies between the two. And some of them, I don't know if the show mixed up a couple of the victims or not. Mm-hmm. And the other thing, the show was okay. It focused more on the killer, who is Anthony Sowell, more than his victims. So I wasn't like,
that seems to be common a lot too, which sucks. Yes. Because
whereas you forget. Unseen focused it more on the victims. Like, yes, obviously they're talking about the killer and stuff too, but I will give a little bit of background on Anthony, before diving into the case. So he was born on August 19th of 1959. I will say one thing, like in both the documentary and the show, they made it sound like it was just him and his younger half-sister. He was actually like one of 7 children. Like none of these are... The amount of information that I found in a few articles and Wikipedia that they left out of the documentary, some of it I felt like was kind of relevant that they should have left in. Mm-hmm. They only ever mentioned his younger sister, Tressa, and she was younger by 7 years. So like I said, this whole time, like for the longest point of my research, I thought it was just the two of them. And in Living with a Serial Killer, the show mentions that when Sowell was 10, his stepdad, which was Tress's dad, died unexpectedly, and that their mom was working so much that their grandma moved in. And apparently their grandma was like very, very strict and abusive. And so those two, you know, formed a really close bond. However, when I was researching more stuff and like on Wikipedia, it sounds like even their mom was very abusive to her own grandchildren as well. So like Sowell's nieces and nephews, and that like a lot of the kids all lived in this home with her. So one, I don't know why grandma had to move in if there were adult children there and stuff. Right. So I feel like there's a lot that's been kind of left out there.
Yeah.
And one article actually mentions that Sowell began raping one of his 10-year-old nieces when he was just 11 years old.
Oh.
And this is one of those things that I find it really interesting that neither show mentioned, because in the serial killer show, his sister made it sound like he had no behavioral issues until later on in life. And I'll get into this in more detail later, but he raped a woman in 1989 and his family stood by him and assumed that the woman was lying. But I find it hard to believe, you know, and then they talk about how, like, when they found out about all of his victims, his mom and Tressa had a hard time believing it, you know, that it was him who had done all these horrific things. Yet, right. If he was assaulting his niece at such a young age, people lived there, there's no way they weren't aware of this.
No.
And now, mind you, I get it. This is according to Wikipedia. I try to do a little bit more research. There wasn't a ton, But it is said to, like, one of the articles I read does talk about him assaulting his niece. And in Wikipedia, it mentions how his niece is stated as saying that the grandmother, so Tressa and Sowell's mom, was abusive and made her, this niece that he had been assaulting, strip naked and whipped her with an electrical cord until she bled. And all of this while other adults were throughout the house watching from other rooms. And she also stated that other males in the family committed rapes as well. And I don't know if this was against her, other children in the home and stuff, but clearly this was a thing. And I'm really very shocked that neither show addressed this. And now I guess I will say, I guess take it with a grain of salt. I didn't find a whole lot about it. There are a ton of different documentaries out there too that I found that were on YouTube and stuff like that, but I only watch these two. So maybe some other ones talk about it, but I was just like, this clearly shows this man.
Right. Was violent from the beginning. I mean,
but again, like we've talked about before, if he started at such a young age, I'm wondering if he was sexually assaulted too as a child.
Yeah. It makes you wonder because that was extremely young to be doing that.
And yes. That's
awful. Well, and if it talks about, I mean, his own grandma and I mean, everyone just being abusive in that household, that's just, that's very sad.
It is. So then when Sowell turns 18, he enlists in the Marines where he served for 7 years before being honorably discharged in 1985. And now this is where, like in Living with a Serial Killer, Tressa says that this is when his attitude changed. He was more quick to anger. He seemed to have a newfound resentment against his mother, which if all this was going on, I don't blame him. And he would like speak really harshly to her. And then he started to have some like criminal charges, mostly for drugs, but eventually then for domestic assault. So in Unseen, they start with interviewing a woman named Melveta Sockwell, who admitted to having been a sex worker. And I will say, like, most of the women who were his victims were sex workers trying to feed their drug habit. Because at this time, Cleveland, Ohio, in this specific area that they're in, was hit very hard by the crack cocaine pandemic. And that was very prevalent here. So one article mentions that Melveta was pregnant at the time, but the documentary never mentions it, so I'm not really sure. But Melveta said that on this day in 1989, she went to his home. She didn't know him, but she had seen him around the neighborhood before. So he tends to lure them, you know, with offer of drugs and alcohol, right? And they're sex workers. That's, you know, how they're getting paid. They're feeding their addictions. So when they get to his place, he started to choke her and told her not to scream. And she said in the interview that before he gagged her, she felt like she could have screamed, but something inside her told her not to. He then gagged her and raped her at knife point. He kept her for several days and repeatedly assaulted her. And at one point he told her to say her prayers because he was going to kill her. But then he fell asleep and she managed to escape to the roof of his home and catch the attention of a neighbor to call for help. Yeah. So he was arrested.
Jeez.
And he was actually convicted of the rape and served 15 years in prison. However, he was released in 2005 and moved to 12205 Imperial Avenue in Cleveland. And this was in the Mount Pleasant neighborhood. And for the next several years, women would go missing from here. Unfortunately, police didn't investigate any of the disappearances until after the 11 victims were found in 2009.
Jeez.
And this reminds me so much of that case in Excelsior Springs, which I still can't find much information about.
It's like we heard the initial news and then it's been like crickets since
but
then.
But even the initial news was a lot more. I saw most of that from TikTok, and police still were adamant that there wasn't a serial killer, that these women from this neighborhood there weren't going missing. And I'm like, this is literally the exact same thing. And it's not even like this was that, like, history's repeating itself and it hasn't been that long.
Yeah, that's very alarming.
Yes. So like I said, Mount Pleasant was hit hard by the crack cocaine epidemic, and many of the people living in this area were drug addicts, and the women who were going missing were tended to be as well and were sex workers. And this is also a predominantly Black neighborhood. So you mix all this together, and of course, it's not something the police are really going to take seriously. This is a neighborhood they're writing off. So now, before I really get into all of the like crime and stuff, I do actually want to name all of the victims first. And like I said, I'll go back because there are three women who were interviewed and unseen who were attacked and raped by him during the course of these like times that these women were being murdered. But I wanted to name these victims as well. And I did find, and I'm going to put it in the show notes, there was an article I found that named them all and gave what information they could. Of course, some of them we don't have a ton of information about. So the first victim was Crystal Dozier. She was 38-year-old mother of seven. After the death of one of her own children, that's when she started to struggle with drugs. And, you know, of course, like I said, Sowell preyed on this. So she went missing in May of 2007, and police did nothing. Then there was Tishana Culver, a 33-year-old mother, which, by the way, I think almost all of his victims, except for one, was a mom.
Jeez.
She also struggled with drugs. Her boyfriend was interviewed and said he remembered giving her money to buy snow boots because they'd walk across town at night in the winter and neither of them had good shoes. And he like gave her a few $100s to buy some really nice boots, you know, and she came back with a pair for herself and for him because he just tended to be wearing like plastic bags. So first of all, how sweet of him. Like, right, it sounds like they were both struggling with drug addictions, but like he set aside this money so his girlfriend could get shoes. And he was more worried about her, and then she was concerned about him, too.
That's sweet.
Mm-hmm. So her family said when she wasn't struggling in her addiction, she was a very generous and kind-hearted person. So she went missing in June of 2008. LaShonda Long was a 24-year-old mother of three when she went missing in 2008, and she was the youngest victim. Then there was Michelle Mason. She was 45 and went missing in October of 2008. Kim Smith went missing just 4 days before her 44th birthday in January of 2009. Jeez. Despite struggling with a drug addiction, she still took amazing care of her disabled father, always getting him to doctor's appointments and cooking and cleaning for him. Nancy Cobbs was 44 and disappeared in 2009. She had spent time in prison for drugs, but afterwards devoted herself to her grandchildren because she felt like she'd been such a bad mom. So for her, I don't know if she, I don't think she was on drugs at this time, but she did befriend Sowell, who lived in the neighborhood. The family knew of him, but didn't consider him dangerous. So like I said, she went missing in April of 2009. Jeez. Then there was Imelda Amy Hunter, and she was a 47-year-old mother of three. She went missing in the spring of 2009.
They all had multiple kids, too. Like, that's blows my mind. That's so sad. Go ahead, sorry.
She was a beautician and an avid book reader, but she also struggled with a drug addiction. She wasn't reported missing until after this all came out. Tanya Carmichael was a 53-year-old mother of three who went missing in the fall of 2009. Janice Webb was 48 years old when she disappeared in June of 2009. Despite her struggles with drugs, her family said she was the one who kept the family together, and she was reported missing a month after her disappearance.
Talisha, a month? It took a month?
Well, when they have drug problems, you know, sometimes they don't know.
Yeah, that's true. It's just crazy. Like, a lot of them sound like they're super, I mean, involved with their family. So you would think it would be, an absence noticed. But
And a lot of them were reported and police did nothing. So Talisha Fortenson was a 31-year-old mother of three who was turning her life around before she went missing in June of 2009. And the final victim was Diane Turner. She was a 38-year-old mother of six. She disappeared in September of 2009, and she was the final victim. So now I mentioned there were a few other women who were attacked and raped by Sowell but survived. So 2 weeks before his arrest, a neighboring business caught on their security cameras a woman jumping from his second-story window. And And the victim was Sean Morris. When she woke up in the hospital, she said she needed to call her husband, but the nurse was like, your husband rode in the ambulance with you. And she's like, that wasn't my husband. That was Sowell. He rode with her.
Whoa. Mm-hmm. Yikes. Oh my gosh.
So in the documentary, they say she never filed a police report, but in the show, it said that she did, but it claimed to be unfounded. But I think they got her confused with a different victim that I'll talk about in a bit.
Hey, Dark Hearts. We wanted to tell you about one of our favorite products that helps keep you safe and also gives you peace of mind.
She's Birdie is a cool little device that is small enough you can hook it on a keychain, bag, or even just carry it.
There are two different types of birdies. The original birdie, when activated, chirps very loud. Trust me, it's ear piercing. We've tried it. And also has an intense strobe light that helps deter attackers and gets the attention of potential bystanders.
The She's Birdie Plus is a Bluetooth-enabled device that connects to an app on your phone that gives you 24/7 support where live reps are available. It can also send you a fake call to get out of an uncomfortable situation, as well as provide GPS location to your chosen contacts. This birdie does require a subscription you can either pay monthly or annually.
The best part is you can get 15% off your order when you use the code DARKHEARTS15.
Check out shesbirdie.com to see what fun colors and patterns you can purchase.
Stay Heartland kind and be extra Darkland wary with your new birdie.
I also want to mention that during these 2 years, the whole neighborhood stunk. Everybody complained about it. They interviewed this man who owned the store across the street from Sowell's home. And his name was Asad Tai, and he mentioned how one day an employee came in saying the garbage in the back smelled horrible. When he went to check, he found several garbage bags, and they were all, like, duct taped up and stuff. Mm-mm. Apparently, that wasn't suspicious to him, though, so he just told the guy to put bleach out there. I'm going to come back to him, because fuck Asad. And I'll explain why in a moment. But anyway, so everyone just assumes that it's coming from Ray's Sausage Factory because it was right next door to Sowell's home. So the health department even came out and made them do thousands of dollars of modifications to the factory's waste system.
That's shitty for them, too.
Yeah, because
it wasn't them.
Yep, yeah. It wasn't them. And we'll kind of find out, like, those garbage bags probably had body parts in them because... Yeah. Sowell would dismember some of his victims.
I was wondering if it was going that route. Well, and if they're duct taped shut too, like,
yeah.
I'm sorry, who takes the time to do that unless there's something you're trying to hide?
And so, like, I guess Asad says that he contacted the woman who lived above his store and was like, hey, is your dog dead? And she's like, no, it's right here. Because he thought maybe he had died and she just tossed it in the garbage. But also it was a small dog, so why would it take up 3 garbage bags? And why would it need to be duct taped? So
it reminds me of the Jeffrey Dahmer thing where people were constantly complaining of smell and nothing was done.
Exactly. And that's one of those things where that was what I remembered about the sausage factory. Like, that was the one thing I remembered. Okay, so now why I say fuck Asad. So in the Unseen documentary, at first I felt bad for him because he talked about his brother owned the store, but was killed in a robbery. And then he says, quote, I wish there were 1 million more Anthony Sowells. He was cleaning up the garbage. Now, the interviewer tries to give him a chance to backpedal, asking him, like, several times, like, what do you mean? Who's the garbage? And he blatantly says, those women were garbage. He did the world a favor. Major fuck you. I had to stop watching the documentary at that point, and I text Lacey, and I was like, girl, I'm so angry right now. Fuck this guy.
That's, like, crazy. I wish you could just, like, charge someone for saying that, like... You know, aiding and abetting in a sense because you're encouraging it. But
yeah,
whether you were, like, I mean, if he's saying stuff, no, that's ridiculous.
Especially because all of his victims were struggling with drugs and he knew.
Right.
Sowell did crack cocaine too. He'd seen him buying it on several occasions.
So how is he any different then? Yeah. And he probably did it himself too, let's be honest.
So this is a community where people tend to know everyone, and he had had interactions with several of these women. And it was after he was talking about one of the victims, how she had been in, she sent her kids in for things for him. And then he turns around, knowing she's a victim, they had just discussed how he had seen her on several occasions. And he was like, yep, I wish there was more Anthony Sowells.
Sick.
Yeah. So back to the victims. Now, I just had to say, disgusting. Everyone needs to know his name. If I don't know, wherever he is, fuck you. I hope your business goes bankrupt.
Yeah, and I hope he gets his.
Yeah. So
he's the trash that needs cleaned up, so let's just leave it at that.
I also forgot to mention that in early 2009, Gladys Wade was attacked by Sowell. She escaped his home bleeding and bruised, and she went into a pizza parlor that was across the street asking to use their phone, and they wouldn't let her. They told her to leave because she was bleeding on their floor. And she talks about how people in there were, like, laughing at her and everything. Yeah. And this is the victim that I wonder if they got her confused with Sean, because she did file a police report, but because she was a sex worker, police said it was her word against his and not enough evidence, despite all of her wounds. And so he goes on to kill 6 more women after Gladys made that report.
Wow.
So if police would have just gone and talked to him then, those 6 women would probably still be alive.
And this was in when? The 2000s, right?
This was in 2009.
Okay, so we're not talking like back in the olden days.
No. Okay. No. And now, so then we have Vanessa Gay. I'm not exactly sure when in the timeline of events her assault occurred, but Sowell picked her up saying it was his birthday, and she was currently a sex worker. She was addicted to crack cocaine. So when they get back to his place, she was like, hey, are we going to smoke? And he said, yeah. And he turned around, turned his back on her as if he was about to, like, light something up, you know? But when he turns back around, he punched her in the face and made her take off her clothes. And he raped her repeatedly. So in the morning, Vanessa asks if she can use the restroom. And he lets her. And as she's walking to the restroom, she sees in a room next to it, she said there was, like, some plastic, but it was, like, pulled off to the side, and she sees a body with a decapitated head. Like, there's no head to this body.
Oh, my gosh.
And she talks about how she knew she had to pretend like she hadn't seen that, and she had to keep her cool. Otherwise, that could be her as well. So, you know, later he's talking to her. He's like, I can't let you go because you're going to tell on me and stuff. And she played it off. And she's like, what would I tell? She's like, what would I go to the cops for? She's like, we were just having fun. She's like, maybe it was a little more rough than I was used to, but, like, there's nothing to go to the police about. So he lets her go.
Good for her.
And so she mentions
enough to do that, you know?
Yes.
That's a lot. It's like, you have to just fake the funk to get, you know,
right?
Don't fight them sometimes. I mean, in certain cases, because if you have a better chance of convincing them, it's fine.
That's so hard to know. You know what I mean?
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. That's it's sad that you have to turn that way, but, like, to save your own life, good for her.
Yeah. So, you know, she mentioned how, like, as she's walking down the street, she's bleeding and limping and bruised, and it's a Sunday morning, and no one's asking her if she needs help, if she's offering help. She called the police, but they wanted her to come in and file a report. And she admits, she goes, since I was a drug addict and a sex worker, she's like, I didn't think they were going to believe me. So she had been, like, living in an abandoned home at this time. She's like, I just went and got high. She's like, I just wanted to forget it all. And she ends up having to try or, you know, testify in his case because she is the only eyewitness to be able to link him to these bodies. So now his final victim and the woman who ultimately got him captured was Latundra Lala Billups. She had actually known Sowell and had done drugs in his home with him before. She said they usually went to the third floor, but this time they went to the second floor, and she was like, hey, what's up with this? And he's like, oh, it's really messy up there. Because he lived in this, it looked like it was almost like a a multi-story house that maybe at one point had been made into apartments, like separate apartments, but now it was just him living there. So they go into this room, and she said there was just a chair and a cut electrical cord and a blanket on the floor in this room. And when she walked in with her back to him, he started to choke her. And so she pushed him away, and then he punched her. And he put the cord around her neck, and she passed out. So when she came to, she was naked on the floor. She could tell she had been raped. And when she came to, he seemed shocked that she was still alive. Like, he thought she was dead.
So he was okay with just raping a body, essentially, is what he thought anyway. So that's cool.
Yes. Okay. So he said he was going to kill her and then himself because he knew it was over. However, like, he ended up letting her go. So Lala went to the hospital and they did a rape kit and collected evidence. She reported it to the police. And then it was 3 weeks before a detective even contacted her. And it's like, at that point, like, thank God there were no other victims in that time frame.
Because that's a long time to go. And not only that, that's scary for her, too. Living in fear, like, just knowing he's out there and you just experience this and no one's helping you or even acting like they care. Gosh.
Yeah. So on October 29th of 2009, police went to his house to arrest him for Lala's rape. And he wasn't home. But due to the smell of decomposition, they busted down the door and they found a horrific sight. There were two bodies immediately right there. They found several bodies in the home in varying stages of decomposition and dismemberment. I want to say they found a total of 5 bodies just inside the house.
Oh my gosh.
And then they dug up the backyard and they found another 6 more.
Wow.
So, and the thing is too, is like one, not all of them, all of their, I can't remember which victim, but there was a victim that all they ever found of her was her head. They never found anything else. And because of the state of decomp that they were in, they had to identify all of the victims by DNA. So at this point, as the families are hearing about this, like, people are coming forward like, yeah, we reported these people missing. And so, like, they were taking DNA samples from family members of missing women. This is when these missing people were finally being investigated.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so really sad that they have to have that concrete proof just to do anything about it and can't take people's word.
If they would have even just gone and talked to him, they would have. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They would have smelled it. If they could smell it that quick, just
exactly
knocking on the door. Imagine if they had gone sooner. Like,
well, and if the whole neighborhood was already smelling like that for several years.
Well, and that's a very distinct, I mean, I can't say that I personally smelled it, thank God, but like, I feel like people who do, I mean, if I smelled something that bad, I think that's very, like, a distinct smell, you know? So yeah. I'm sorry. How do you just look the other way when there's that going on?
Right. So, you know, he's missing. It takes him several days. Apparently in this point, so in Unseen, Tressa talks about how he called her and she met up with him in public on the street. But then in the show, she's like, oh, he just called me. I never saw him. But she does admit then that she didn't call the police right away to tell him that she had talked to her brother. And I just, I don't know. Like, and at this point I'm watching this and I'm like, well, yeah, if you don't believe it, but I'm like, there's no way you didn't know, because she talked in one of them about how after he got out of jail in 1989, she let him live with her. She had 7 kids. She was taking care of their mom, who was, like, disabled at this point. And it sounds like he maybe hit one of her kids or something like that, and she kicked him out then.
I'd be scared of him even just abusing those children. So
I know. I was like, there's no way you didn't. Yeah. So he had been – the thing is like, they're worried that because he had been in the Marines, that, like, he would have left the country and stuff. But he was actually still in the neighborhood, just sleeping in an abandoned house. So I'm like, did you guys not canvass the area?
Right. They suck at everything, it sounds like. Come on.
So how he gets captured is he's just walking on the street in daylight and someone calls it in and the police stops him and he's like, yeah, I'm Anthony Sowell.
Wow. A lot of effort put forward in this case, it sounds like.
Yeah.
So like dude didn't really care if you got caught. So.
In a, so like, then it shows in Unseen, like his interview, and like, he just keeps saying that like, he doesn't remember doing these things, but he's had dreams about them. Like he dreamt that he choked them, but he would not.
Nice defense.
Yeah. He wouldn't give any help whatsoever on identifying these women.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like when they went to trial, he was originally going to try insanity, but then like they changed that. And I think he just pled not guilty. So in June 2011, his trial began and he was charged with 85 counts of rape, kidnapping, and murder.
85?
Now, yeah. Dang. And so this is one of the other discrepancies. The documentary said he was found guilty of 84 out of the 85, but the show said 85. And I'm like, what one would he have not been charged? Right. Whatever. So, and then he was sentenced to death.
Good.
And he was on the death penalty. Of course, he did all the appeals and stuff like that.
It's not like he would actually get executed because that's, yeah.
Yeah. Never well, and so February 8th of 2021, he actually died in prison of an unspecified terminal illness.
I hope it was painful.
Right? And his house was torn down in December of 2011 and made into a memorial for the 11 murder victims. And so for this case, I'm going to try to post pictures of all of the victims and this memorial, obviously, too.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's the case of Anthony Sowell, who was the Cleveland Strangler, and the 11 women who, and of course, I guess I didn't mention this, but if it's not obvious because it's Black History Month, all of these victims were Black. They were all Black women.
That's awful. Was he a white guy?
No, he was actually Black himself.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Not that that matters, but I'm actually a little surprised just because I feel like white men think that they're superior to, I mean, not all, but you know, the kinds that do these kind of crimes too, specifically. Yes.
I think for him, this was a matter of, I think I read somewhere too, where they kind of questioned whether it was like acting out hatred on like an ex-girlfriend and
or
things
like if
like
his
that.
Mom was abusive and his grandma
and
was
and stuff
abusive.
Like that. And so like these, so, and not to mention, like I said, it's a predominantly Black neighborhood. So these are the victims that are easy for him to grab, and it's still going to be obviously not looked into. So yeah, I don't care about his psychology of it. Like get fucking therapy. Like his sister tried to be like, I think he had PTSD. That boy had a lot more wrong with him before he went into the Marines.
Correct.
Did the Marines exacerbate it? Probably.
Yeah. But he had issues long before that.
Yeah.
And that stems back to his parents, his mom, his grandma, whatever. I mean, it's sad, but that's never a reason, like, you know, to do what you do just because you were treated that way. I mean, you have the option to change. But also, I mean, I get that resources are not always available to all people, or people do not advocate for their children or try to do things to help their kids. So.
Exactly. So, yeah, that was a deep and horrifying case.
That is disturbing.
Yeah.
On a lot of levels.
It really is. I just...
That's crazy, too, that that one isn't more known, because that's a shit ton of victims. And, I mean, it's a very... There's so many things about that that just remind me of Dahmer. That whole situation as far as the bodies there. I mean, and tearing down the building. And I'm glad that they at least are memorializing that, or they did, I guess, because
yes
the
they
past,
made it
good, because nobody wants that to be there, like that building. And it's just sad that they look the other way, and especially when it is Black victims. Like I just watched a show, I don't know, a documentary about, you know, whatever, a similar type case, but there was one of the victims who had survived. She talked and said how she had called the cops there immediately, like, you know, and said, I just was attacked by this guy, and they didn't believe her. Once again, she's like, okay. And then someone else got killed in the interim time. And then they finally came back and asked her, you know, and she's like, if you guys would have just listened to me, but just because, you know, my drug habit and stuff, she's like, I get it. But like, that doesn't mean that I don't deserve the same respect as far as like, I'm a human being. Like I take it seriously when I'm getting attacked. I don't deserve that.
Exactly.
So,
well, and that's the thing that so many people in our country don't realize or don't look at. Like, addiction of all sorts is a disease. Right. If someone with cancer claimed this, you're not gonna be like, well, I don't know, you have cancer. I don't know how reliable you are. And I get it with the drugs and stuff, but that doesn't mean, like, that's the same. It's still a disease. They can't help it.
Right. Vanessa, you still have to do your job.
Yeah. Like, Vanessa Gay mentions in the documentary, she was like, my family tried to do an intervention. My daughter chased me down. She's like, I couldn't choose my daughter over the drugs. And she's like sobbing. She's like, I didn't have it in me to choose my own daughter over the drugs. And that's just it. But that, and
that's addiction. Like, that's sad. That's,
yes.
It's terrible. And people, it's easy for people to judge that. But yeah. I mean, until you're in that situation, which, you know, I hope nobody ever has to be put in that situation. And there's, you know, but like, yes, that is a disease.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, and it's awful. I don't think anybody ever wants to have that and wants to deal with that. So it's not like people can say, yeah, they choose that, but not really. I mean,
no, especially if you're, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, like, a lot of times these are starting as teenagers. The one woman, it was a coping mechanism after the death of a child, you know, someone was probably like, hey, try this. It'll help you forget for a little bit. And that's such an addictive state, you know, a drug anyways.
Yeah.
And if you're already in a situation where it's all around you, you're a teenager who's easily influenced, like, a lot of these victims, they started young with their drug addictions, you know, and
it's easy for that to happen. I mean, I know I have a very, like, addictive personality, or if I find something, like, I just have to be very careful with what it is, because I could easily go down that road if I let myself, you know, not necessarily just drugs, anything, gambling, whatever it may be, you know, like, and it's sad, and it's, but like, especially in this case, I feel like it is different. They don't get treated equally because of their addiction, I guess.
But Exactly. So, and that's just it.
Like, these cases are way more common than you probably even realize. So, like, this one, how do we not know about this? Like, that's a lot of people that he killed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a ton. So the fact that it's not, like, he's not that any kind of serial killer should have, like, the notoriety of that. But
the fact that so many victims were just inside his home decomposing too. And like I said, like, I think I vaguely remember hearing a little bit about it. Cause like I said, like, when they talked about the smell and the sausage factory, I was like, okay, that sounds familiar to me, but the rest of it really didn't.
Not one part of that story I recognized. So that makes me sad, but.
And when I Googled it, you know, and stuff, like, I didn't necessarily find, like, a ton of podcasts. There was maybe one or two, but, like, I didn't find podcast episodes that just popped up.
Interesting.
Gosh. I'm sure there's others out there.
Yeah. That's, I mean, I hope so. And hopefully these things happen, I mean, or not happen, but these cases are more recognized.
Yeah. Okay. As I'm Googling it, well, Crime Junkie did. I'm not a fan of Crime Junkie. They're problematic. But Generation Y did, and I've heard good things about that podcast. Yes. So Generation Y did cover it. So there's a few out there. But Generation Y and Crime Junkies are the only two I've really seen. Which Crime Junkies, their name in general is problematic.
Right. Yeah.
So also I know they had a lot of issues with plagiarism and stuff like that.
I didn't know. I know a few people that are like obsessed with them, and I just have to bite my tongue because I agree.
If you guys listen and you like them, like, cool. No hate. I'm just personally not a fan.
Our opinion. I'm not either. Yep. I don't listen to them. I did a few episodes and I never really could get into it anyway. So
same.
And that's just fine. I'm sure scripted. People don't get on ours.
Yeah,
the scripted thing is what's hard and for me when you're
her
just
her friend
reading.
Who was just there like, oh, really? I'm like, okay, come on. Like,
I know. I have a hard time. I like just have a real conversation. Like, yeah, we get you have to read certain things. That's not like you can remember all the details on your own.
Right.
But like,
I mean, I read off my notes and stuff like that. But
I have to insert my jokes into my notes when I'm like, oh, that's funny. But then, you know.
I mean, I've done that, yeah.
I've done it a few times. And then sometimes I'm like, nah.
Right.
Read the room, you know. It's not happening right now. Yep. But anyway, well, we'll see what I find next week. Because there's several cases. But like, you know, you said, it's hard to find some of this stuff. So.
Well, or to find the, like, to, like, you can find them, but finding much information is...
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a difficult part as well, so...
For sure.
Yeah, and there we are, you guys. Like I said, send us any cases. I to talk about things, I've been listening to Gideon the Ninth right now. I haven't physically read anything. Well, reading physical books right now, the last week, I haven't really done much of because I was trying to research this, my daughter's birthday, and then we had their birthday party. And then, you guys, I had shit go down in my neighborhood one night. I spent 2 hours figuring out why there were cops at a neighbor's.
We knew that was coming eventually, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, just based on everything you've told me, I'm like, I know which house you're talking about.
Yep. So, it was a busy week. I haven't physically read, but Shannon and I are with some friends doing a true crime / just mystery thriller book club. So
I know. I'm very excited.
I'm hosting the first month. So I got Agatha Christie's And Then There Were None. So yes. I really wanted to start that already, but I'm like,
I know.
Two physical books going right now. One of them, I was looking to be like, maybe I just switch over to audiobook for this one, but the narrator's just not doing it for me.
That makes a huge difference. I can't get on board with some of them, but.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
I need to read that book when it's closer to actually meeting because I'm afraid I might forget pivotal things.
See, and that's my other thing is like, I know it's not going to take me very long because it's not a very big book and I still have a month. Than a half about.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I'm like,
I'll start that the week of, and then
I should wait.
I could probably read it fast, but
you should definitely, you would like, and let someone at work borrow it. But Kate Alice Marshall's Into the Woods, I can't remember if I told you.
I don't know.
So good. She's the author I became obsessed with, and I bought like all of her books right away. Remember? Because Fleeting Shadows I got during spooky season.
Oh, yes.
This one just came out. Season. I know. This one just came out in January. And like all of her books, except for one, was like mystery thrillers, but like with a paranormal aspect. Uh-huh. So I thought this one was too. It wasn't. It was just a straight mystery thriller. Oh my God. The twists. Fucking good.
I have so many books I have to read. I have a huge stack, but I want a new bookshelf for my birthday. That's what I'm going to shoot for because I have so many books. And, like, I don't keep all of the books. Like, the books I know I won't read again or the ones that are, like, not my favorites.
Yeah.
I will not read again. But I have a whole stack of books I need to read right now. And I just don't even know where to begin.
Yeah.
I still have a few of yours, too, that I need to give back, which I haven't read yet. But they're on my to-read. Once I read them, I will return them.
Well, and that's, like, I got you that book as a super early birthday present already. And then I got it for myself, too.
I'm, like... I started that one and another one. When you said reading two physical books at a time, yeah, I start to do that too. I'm like that person. I have a friend, he reads multiple books at a time. And yeah. I'm like, how do you keep them all straight? But now I'm like, I get it. Because sometimes I just need to know what's going on here and there.
But I started this year trying to read just like listening to an audiobook and then reading a book. But then I'll get another book and I get really excited about it. So then I go and start that one.
I know. I'm like... I started it this year so strong reading. I read like, you know, three books already in 1 month. I was like, I'm killing it. And then now I've had this super dry spell where like I haven't read for a while and I need to. I just have been tired and that's
like I said today. Reading this week has been hard for me. I think I'm at currently, I think I've read 9 books so far this year.
That's impressive.
See, some of them were easier reads, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes a difference, but.
I read some super cutesy, just like rom-com, like, yeah, I've read 9 books so far this year. And
I count
actually
audiobooks or do you count like when you count?
I count the audiobooks too.
So yeah. I can count audiobooks.
Yes,
you think?
Count
okay.
audiobook. That's I need still.
To I mean, to each their own. But I'm like, if you give me permission, it's still reading, kind of. It is. Yeah, you're absorbing the book.
If I couldn't do that, like audiobooks, like I said, like I made a goal this year to try to read at least 20 physical books because audiobooks are just easier for me. But then there are books that I'm like, oh, this sounds really good. But I don't like the narrator. And so then I don't get around to them. So I've been trying to read some physical books as well because of that reason. But audiobooks totally count. And anyone who says they don't are just being a gatekeeper.
Yeah, it's fine.
We don't like gatekeepers.
No.
Do you like how the last like 10 minutes has turned into our book corner?
Yeah. Yeah. Books. What can we call this part of it?
Yeah, we should have it like in on our book corner this week.
Yeah. And this week. Yeah. Whoever's doing the story, then the other person can bring what book recommendation of the week.
Yeah. Yeah. There we go. I had someone yesterday at work be like, you're a reader. I need book recommendations. And I'm like, okay, most of my book recommendations are going to be fantasy. I need to know if you're okay with that first.
Yeah.
She's like, yes. I go, okay, then you have opened up a can of worms.
Here she goes, right?
Yeah. She's like, well, send me a few text messages. I was like, okay, well, that's going to go a rabbit hole. I'll try to limit it to like 5 or 6.
We'll just start with a few. Yes. Yeah.
And then when you need more, you let me know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So.
That's good stuff.
Yeah. But you guys, reach out to us at any of our social medias, which is Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok. Email us at heartland.darklandpodcast@gmail.com. We love to hear from you all. Don't forget to rate and review, share, all the lovely things. But until next time, stay Heartland kind.
But Darkland wary.